Okay. Well, I want to say something right up front because I believe in truth and advertising and everything else. The truth is, this morning is I have nothing. I want you to look at my hands. I mean, I do have a ring on, but that's I better not ever take that off, right? But listen, I have nothing. I have nothing except what God is except what God's given me. We're born into the world, the Bible says. We're born into this world naked. And then we leave. We leave this world the same way, right? Well, they put top clothes on, you're right. But listen, we have nothing. Everything that we have has been given to us. And I want to let you know that I have nothing of my own. I have nothing of my own to give you. Okay? But you know what? Thank God he gives us his word. And his word can fill our hands. Isn't that great? And our minds and give us the stuff we need. I want to just do a little review on Galatians. We are mowing through the chapters. We are going to start. We're going to get to chapter 5 today. That's where I've been wanting to get to since we started off. Really, it's where I wanted to get to. But before you can get to chapter 5 with the fruit of the Spirit, you have to go through a reproof and a rebuke of these people that were Christians who started to believe that they had to live by the law again. They were going back. There was people that came up to them and said, hey, you know what? I know you're saved, but you need to do this now. You didn't get everything. You didn't get everything when you became saved. You didn't get everything when you had faith in Christ. You didn't get everything. So we're going to tell you what else you need. And that is wrong. That's what made Paul crazy. He went crazy about this. It's in Romans where he talks about people adding something to the gospel. Anytime you try and add something to this, it's no longer the gospel. It's a perversion. It's a perversion. Okay? We were in a class the other night, and a guy had a gavel. I thought this was great. He had a gavel. And I didn't see he had it. I didn't see when he had it. But he said, as soon as a person has faith, and when he said that, he smacked the gavel onto the... as soon as a person has faith in... You know, we have the righteousness of God as soon as we have faith. Man, when he smacked, and he said it's faster than that. Isn't that something? It's faster than that. You have all you need when you have faith in Christ alone. When you have faith in Christ that he died on the cross for your sins, right? You've got everything right then. That doesn't sound like the gavel. But you got everything right then. I want to let you know something. In the world that we live in, there is people, lots of people, that want you to believe what they believe. Do you believe that? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Is there people that want you to believe what they believe?
Yeah.
What do they do if you don't believe it? Somebody tell me, what's something they might do if you don't believe what they say?
Kill you.
Oh, he's right. Huh? Something else? What were you going to say? Somebody over there. Okay. Listen, what else?
Shaming.
They'll huh?
Ignore you.
Ignore you.
Mock you.
Mock you.
Keep harping.
Keep on you.
No longer be a friend.
Yes, that's right. Listen, you want to see people get angry? Say, I don't believe that. I don't believe you. Oh, man. Whew. They'll get angry. Look what happened with Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, the first two, right in the Bible, what happened? Did they believe the same?
Nope.
They believed differently, and it cost Abel his life. I'm going to tell you right now, do you know why they're chopping off people's heads?
We believe differently.
That's right. Yes, it's true. We don't believe like them. I want to tell you this. Listen, I don't want you to believe me. Listen to this. I don't want you to believe me. but I do want you to believe God. Listen, someone who loves you, they're going to tell you to believe God. Do you hear me? Somebody who really loves you is going to tell you to believe God and not them. Right? I want you to believe God this morning. Believe God. And once you do, listen, we are headed to freedom. We are headed to liberty. We are headed to the greatest things about this Christian life. I'm going to tell you this. Once you get faith, once you have faith and faith alone, in Christ alone, look at this. There's going to also be this. Works. Works are going to come. Works. Can you guys see? That's not my quote. That's somebody else's. But I like it. Look at this. Works are the fruit of faith, not the root, right? You guys got it? It's the fruit. I heard this too. This is free because I got it from somebody else. Everything I got is from somebody else. So, can you imagine going out? Anybody ever seen vineyards? Have you ever seen a vineyard before? Like, you've seen them out in a thing? Can you imagine going out by a vineyard and seeing people out in the field taking plastic fruit and taping it onto the branches? Wouldn't that be something to see that happening? Listen, you don't get fruit that way. That's definitely not edible. It's definitely no good. There is going to be, I am going to tell you right now, if you have the gospel, if you've accepted the gospel, if you have faith alone, plus nothing, you are going to have works and you're going to have fruit and you're going to have freedom. Do you hear me? Okay, let's read some verses. Let's let this whole thing start sinking in. Remember, he's coming from reproof and rebuke, and I put some of these on the tables. There's probably not enough for everybody, but you can share some of those verses. Somebody should be getting to some of those verses so you can read them. And I would like them read in some different versions if it's possible. Okay? So, Galatians, we're going to start off Galatians 3:11. Somebody got that and want to read that? Please go ahead, Miss Nancy.
Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith.
Okay. Where does righteousness come from?
God. Romans 1:17.
It comes from God. How? Who said that?
Imputation.
By faith. It's imputed to us by faith. As soon as you have faith, remember that gavel? As soon as you have faith, you're imputed with the righteousness of God. Isn't that great? I was trying to tell somebody this. You don't just get forgiven. You're not just even anymore. It's not like you're just even. No. You're given the righteousness of Christ, the same righteousness he had when he walked around on earth and walked on water and told the weather. And we get that same righteousness he was living in. Wow. That's what it says, right? Whose righteousness are we imputed with? Christ. We're imputed with the righteousness of Christ. God's righteousness is in us. Okay, so faith alone is all that justifies. I know probably everyone in here has probably heard what justification means, or justified, right? You've heard the definition. Somebody can go ahead and say it.
Just as if I'd never sinned.
Just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that great? That's even, and then we get the righteousness of God. Isn't that great? Through faith. Okay, let's go on to 3:26. What does this say? Because now this is, remember, this letter is written to Christians. This is a letter written to Christians, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And what does he say in verse 26? Somebody with another version or any version?
You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's an NIV.
Okay. So who is children of God? Who are the children of God? Who said that? I'm going to give you some credit.
We all are.
We are. That's right. We all are. How?
Through faith in Christ.
Through faith in Christ. So every single person in the whole world who has faith in Christ is a child of God, and we are their brother and sister. They may not look like us. They may not talk like us. But guess what? They are. I'm trying to imagine, some other country somewhere, some African nation, whatever, and they definitely don't look like me, But guess what? They are my brother, or they are my sister, if they have faith in Christ, okay? I want to get that part. I want us to know that. I might not look like you, but listen, I am your brother. I am your brother because I have faith in Christ too, okay? Isn't that great? We're even. We're all the children of God. Okay. Sometimes some of this stuff is simple, but let me tell you what, it means a lot. Okay. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 16. I think this is a good one too.
So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?
Have you ever had somebody tell you the truth and it make you mad? Huh? Paul is telling these guys, look, I'm telling you the truth. Now are you going to be mad at me? Have you ever had a discussion with somebody and you're trying to tell them something, you're trying to do it real gentle, Have you ever tried, you're trying to tell them real gentle, and they go, just stop, just tell me. And then when you tell them, they're like, not like that. No, whatever you did, you did something wrong. Right? We don't like the truth sometimes. But do you know what all of us need? The truth. Because guess what? If we have the truth, what?
It'll set us free.
We'll be free. As soon as you get the truth, you're going to be free. Paul says, do you hate me because I tell you the truth? He's trying to tell him the same thing. He's trying to tell us the same thing. We need truth. And we don't, listen, don't be upset with somebody telling you the truth. Okay, don't be upset with somebody telling you the truth. If they love you and they're telling you, a guy, Richard Baxter, I know I talked about him before, and I really like his quote. He said this, he said, if you love your people, if you love the people that are under you, that you're trying to teach or preach to, he said, you can tell them anything. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? If you know someone loves you, really loves you, they can tell you stuff. They can say, hey, that wasn't good what you did there. I really think there's people that know I love them enough where I could say, really, man, the way you were over there, that wasn't good. I love you, and I care about. And guess what? He would be able to take it. He would be able to take it. Let me tell you what. Loving people helps you tell them the truth. Do you hear me? Loving people will help you tell them the truth. Whether it's your kids, your wife, husband, loving them is going to help you tell them the truth. Okay. I thought that was just such a great verse. Do you hate me because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy? Listen, the person who tells you the truth, you should go hug their neck and love on them. You know, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. And you know what? It would be a great thing if you got a chance to see Brother Bob and go up and shake his hand and tell him you love him. You know why? He tells us the truth. It's not wrong to do that. Please, get an opportunity. Tell the man. Yes?
I didn't know when it comes to sharing the gospel with people. I think we obviously are familiar with a lot of the hang-ups and the drawbacks we have as far as sharing the gospel. Sometimes we don't and all that stuff. We feel this way or feel that way. I think it's loving those people that makes you break through all those walls to say, I have got to say something. I've got to say something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, loving will make you, you're loving people. You don't want them to get hurt. You don't want them to go the wrong way, right? You don't want them to go away from God. You want them to go towards, right. Okay, 428. Somebody go 428. We're just bouncing along here with what he's trying to get across to them. Somebody got that 428? You can go ahead and read it.
Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise.
We are the children of promise. Remember in the Old Testament, God had promised Abraham a son. And it didn't come quick enough, right?
Not for him.
Not for his wife either.
Sarah, right?
So they tried to circumvent and get their own, and what a mistake, right? But the child, we are the children of promise. We are the children of promise. How great. How great that is. We are not under the law. We are the children of promise. We are heirs. We are real heirs. We are real heirs to God. Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
We get everything. We get everything because we are heirs to God.
Amen.
Think about what I'm going to get. Wow. I'm an heir of God. And you are too. And that's what it says. We are that, okay? We are children of the promise. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 5. And this is going to... Read, somebody in chapter 5, read verse 5 and 6, please.
But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
That's it right there.
Okay. Look at this, man. Paul is getting ready right now. He's turning this whole thing. He's telling us this whole thing about our life in Christ, about us being heirs to God. And now he's going to turn it. And he says this, what we have is through the Spirit by faith, right? We have faith, and our faith, as soon as you have faith, can you read that verse again, Keith? Number six.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Did you guys hear that verse? Mm-hmm. Okay, this whole thing has come up because circumcision and uncircumcision. There was a group of people that said, hey, you've got to be, you're saved, yeah. I mean, but you need this one more thing. Sort of, yeah. You're sort of saved. You're almost there. You're almost there. But you still need to, be circumcised. They were adding. They were making a plus. They were doing a perversion. And he said, neither one. And so that's what this whole thing comes down to. Is somebody? This is the way they believe, and they want you to believe it. Right? When you believe, when someone, think with me for a minute. Someone wants you to believe something. When you believe them, how do they feel? Somebody raise your hand. Tell me how do they feel when you believe, huh?
If you believe what they believe, they like it.
They like it. They feel what they like it. They have that feeling. What other feelings do they have?
They're validated.
Validated. They feel like, yeah. And if they can get a lot of people to believe what they believe.
Empowered.
Huh? Yeah. Right? Go ahead. Let me sell you a book, The Best Life Now. I mean, or any other book, right? If you believe, right? How do they get this feeling? Oh, they believe me. I'm saying it, and they believe it.
So it must be right.
So it must be right. I'm telling you, don't believe God. Read the scripture for yourself. Believe God. He said circumcision and uncircumcision means
nothing.
What means something? If everything else means nothing, anything that people try and add means nothing, then what does mean something? What does that verse say? Listen, I love you. And I really love you. And I think this is what's most important. It's said right here. It's encapsulated. What means something? What does that verse say?
Faith.
Verse 6, what means something?
Faith in Christ.
And after? Huh?
Working yourself through love.
There, listen. Faith with love. Faith with love. That means something. Do you know what's going to change the people you live with? Do you know what's going to change the people you work with? You know what's going to change our church? You know what's going to change everything? You know, the only thing that that means something is going to change it. Faith with love. Yes.
It's like what James says, too. You know, when you say that you've got works and I've got faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, if you see somebody that has this or needs that, and you're expressing that faith with love, that's what's going to be evident.
Hey, listen, I know a lot of you in here, and I know you know that's true. I've seen you. There's a whole lot of people in this room that I've seen give of themselves and do things for others in love. I know. Listen, that is true what she said. This is going to make the change, is loving. Okay? Faith works by love. Faith works by love. If you have faith, you are going to love. If you have faith, you're going to love. You are not going to make a priority out of things that would cause division with your brothers and sisters. I'm going to shock you right now, okay? Everybody be ready to be shocked, okay? So sit comfortably. You know, I know they have an AFib machine, everything here. But listen. don't want to shock you a lot, but I don't believe exactly like you.
What?
I know.
Heretic.
There you go. See, I told you we're going to... that's going to make some people mad. Okay? I can take it. I can take it. I don't believe exactly like you.
Fine, I'm leaving.
See, he's leaving. And you, let me tell you another secret. You don't believe exactly like me. You don't... Yes, sir.
None of us believe exactly like we did 10 years ago either.
That's a good point too, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I used... Okay. Don't judge me. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a young Christian, I used to want to really... I wanted to get in these throwdowns. In the faith, right? Oh, this is what the Bible says. You what? And then I would get hit back. Now, don't judge me. I just said that. Now, I see some of you looking at me like, oh, man. That's not good. That's not good. He just read that verse. Circumcision and uncircumcision is what?
Nothing.
What is something?
Love.
Faith and love. You hear me? Oh, boy. This is crazy teaching. It's from the Bible. This is crazy.
But you have to be careful because you can have faith and love and yet not be in Christ.
Ooh. Not saved faith, though.
And not real love either.
Right.
Well, I don't.
But someone might believe that they are loving others and they have the faith that they're loving others the way they're supposed to.
Right.
And it's not right.
Because that's why we're
not through Christ.
That's why we're fruit inspectors.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're supposed to. Yes, sir.
Maybe a way to look at this is what really counts is faith-driven love.
Right.
Faith-driven love.
Yeah, that could be a much better way to say it. Yes, sir.
If you look at the end of verse 6, literally it's saying faith, the existence of faith, working through love. So it's a revelation of fruit of faith.
Right.
So, which could be like three other lessons, but...
Isn't it great? Go ahead.
A side note out of Galatians 5:6 is the whole book by Piper called Future Grace. He expounds Galatians 5:6 in that book. It's a fantastic book.
I want you to, somebody please go to Ephesians 4, verse 2. It's not on your paper, but Ephesians 4, 2. I want you to think about this, okay? Remember what I did when I did this? Remember, well, I don't have a gavel, but remember? As soon as you do that, as soon as you have saving faith, right? That's not very loud, but just go with me. As soon as you have saving faith, you get the righteousness of God imputed to you. The guy who's down in Belize this morning, who has saving faith, believes what Christ did on the cross, he is saved. He is my brother. He is still messed up in the way he believes, right? or no? All of our belief gets right as soon as we get saved. Is that right? Everybody believes totally right. As soon as you become a Christian, you have no problems with your relationships. Is that right? No. Listen, maybe that happened for you.
I'm quite certain I was angry.
It didn't happen. Listen, it didn't happen for me. I was, and it still hasn't completely happened, okay? Thank God for Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. And thank God that he put people around me that lived out this verse. You want to read it?
I got it.
Somebody, Jeff, read it. Can you read it, please?
With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love.
Do you know what I need? I need people to be patient with me. Do you hear me? I don't need somebody to act better than me because that's easy. Right? People can. Have you ever had somebody act better than you? How does it make you feel? Good? Happy. Oh, that person just acted better than me. No. That's not how you feel. You ever had somebody slight you? Have you ever had somebody go look down on you? It's never good, right? He says, can you read it please one more time? Read it kind of slow. I want you to get these words, please.
With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love.
Have you ever been treated ungentle? Have you ever been treated rough? Right now, this is going to amaze you, because I know something. That is amazing. Hannah, don't laugh that hard. Let me finish my words. Okay. Listen to this. Listen to this. Right now, all of us in this room, think with me. In your past, when you were young, did an adult person ever do you wrong? Okay, did they ever hurt you? And now listen, every one of you just now came up with a name and a face. I know you did. Because it happens. Someone was not gentle with you. Someone said things to you that hurt you. Right? Somebody treated you wrong. It's there. And you know how long it's going to be there? A long time. It's not something you think about all the time, not something you bring up, but it's going to be with you. Because it's true. And where was I going with that?
I don't know if this is where you're going, but going back to Galatians 5:5, it refers to the righteousness for which we hope. And in a sense, that's saying, it seems to me that might be saying, you know, at the final time, at the judgment, in the final reckoning, all of the things I got wrong, all of the things you got wrong, it's all evened out. Everything is even. It's Christ's righteousness for which we hope.
Yes.
So we're on our pathway to that righteousness for which we hope.
Yes. And it's not just a hope. It's a truth. It's going to happen. We are getting there. Okay.
It has happened.
And it is happening. Yes.
And it will happen.
And it will happen.
And all that is because of, like it says in verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs in nothing from a slave.
Right.
Though he be Lord of all, but is under the hand of tutors and governors until the time appointed for the Father. That's people in my life who discipled me, who walked with me, who helped me learn and understand when I was a buffoon trying to represent Christ. I still am a bit of a buffoon, but, you know, he's shaping and molding me, moving me towards... Right.
Very good.
Bob always talks about progressive sanctification, and I think that's the best way to encapsulate the whole concept of you may be saved, but that doesn't mean you got it all figured out. You don't even have a perfect understanding yet.
We're headed that way. This verse I'm talking about, listen, in 4:2, we need to be gentle with other Christians.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? We really need to be gentle. with each other. We need to forbear some people. There's some people that don't believe exactly like you, but you need to be gentle with them. You need to give them a little slack. You know what that's called? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
In your sentence, but I would say, adding to the idea of progressive sanctification, a lot of times that doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting better as a person. It just means that you're getting more humble and you realize you've been the sinner all along, and that's what he's revealed to you.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, he's right. It may not be that you're getting better, but you're realizing you're not that good. Right? I was never that good. I thought I might have been that good. So, right, part of your sanctification may be realizing that you're not as good as you thought you were. Right, that was good. Look at this. I want to try and hurry and get these. I know let's do 13, 14, and 15. Somebody want to read 13? Please.
Galatians
5. 5:13, yes, sir. Nice and loud.
I'm not there.
Oh, somebody get there.
You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love.
Isn't that great? This is all getting us over here. We've been reproved. We don't want to be in bondage. We want faith alone in Christ alone. And our freedom comes to being able to serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Some of you in here, ladies, you cook. I know because I've ate some of your cooking. And you serve with love, right? Don't you give that food out and you're trying to feed your kids. I'm not talking about the hot dogs. I'm talking about the other stuff you put a lot of work into. But listen, we serve with love. We serve. When I come to teach, I'm trying to serve with love. Love for you. Love for God. Okay. And that's the way we should be doing our service. Verse 14. 5:14. Somebody read it loud. Help me.
For the whole law is fulfilled. And my phone just quit.
Okay, read it. So you don't know it. And my phone quit.
The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. Listen, this is all in one verse. Do you hear me? Paul says, this is it. I'm telling you something. It's all right here. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving each other. Okay, you guys thought I was joking before when I said you gotta love me, but it's true. The Bible says it's a command. He says right here, it's all in this. If you want to fulfill the law of God, love one another. It should be an explosion when it goes out of this room that everyone that you run into when you're walking down the hall or you're walking into the church and someone you see, they should feel that you're loving them. You know people can tell.
Yeah.
And they can tell when it's plastic fruit taped onto the branches too. Okay? Right? Have you ever seen fake fruit? Mm-hmm. Have you ever met somebody and you go, man, there's something wrong with that person. Okay, have you ever done that? Okay, I'm the only one. Okay, don't judge me. You guys judge me too much. Somebody get in my shoes for a minute. Have you ever met somebody and said, and they seem like they're all, and you go, listen, I have told my wife. Answer that, would you? I've told my wife, we've met people. And we've said, after we met him, I said, Steph, there's something. No, we don't see it right now, but something's not good there. And what happened, Steph? I don't do that with, let me tell you this, I don't do that with everybody. I have not met all of you and said that, okay. But, and no one here, but I'm telling you, right? Doesn't God show you the plastic fruit?
Yeah.
Is it hidden from you, really?
No.
Okay. Look what he says here in verse 15, and I got to hurry. Verse 15. Somebody read this one.
Keep on biting and devouring each other. Watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other.
Okay. I don't believe what you believe. I don't believe exactly like you do. And you don't believe exactly like me. What's going to happen if we really get into it on that? What does that say? What does that verse say?
Destroying each other.
Right. Is that what God wants us to do? Huh?
No.
We need to be Ephesians 4, verse 2, towards each other. Okay, you don't believe it. What if I believed that hair on your collar, if you're a man, hey, you ain't making it. Mm-hmm. What if I believed that if you didn't believe exactly like I did on the end times, and I fought with you on it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's some essential truths that we as Christians have to hold to.
Absolutely.
No compromise. You know, Christ alone, by faith. You know, the essentials of the faith. Those are things that we cannot yield on.
Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of other things that we might believe certain things, that might believe we should do certain things or act a certain way, that my views could be different from yours, could be different from other people. And that's fine. We're all brothers in Christ. Those are things that are okay to disagree on, not the fundamentals.
Absolutely. And listen, believing what the Bible says, believing what God says, believing Galatians brings you to freedom. It brings you to freedom. Freedom to love people the way you should.
Right.
You can't love people the way you should if you feel like they ain't right. And they can't be right. Okay? Yes.
It seems like in Romans it talks about that being the purpose of why Christ died. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin.
Oh my God.
He condemned sin in the flesh, with the result that, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled, and you shall love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor.
That's good. That's a great end. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you. God, we have nothing when we were born into this world. God, everything we have, you've given to us. God, thank you for our understanding of the Scripture. God, thank you for saving faith that you've given us, God, faith that brings us righteousness. God, would you please help us as we deal with each other, God, as we show the fruit of your Spirit, help us as we deal with each other to be humble, God, to be tender, God, to love each other, as you tell us we need to do, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.